Boys and girls, do we have an episode for you today?
That's how you're going to start it? I was thinking, man. More of like, hey, you cool cats and kittens.
Honestly, if I thought of it, that would have been better.
Oh, God.
This episode is all about Tiger
King. How she killed her husband.
Well, that's very specific. Yeah, sorry we missed an episode last week.
We didn't. You guys did. We recorded it. It just didn't work.
Yeah, that was frustrating. So obviously with everything going on, we were trying to record in two separate places, which we're doing now, but we actually figured it out. So that's good. But yeah, we recorded in like 2 hours. We worked over 2 hours to get it to work and all that and set it up and then record and then all, and then it worthless. So
that's always fun.
Yeah, but after the man, it better be worth it. This episode better be worth it because I got a flat tire to record this episode, and I'm not even using the thing I got. I drove all the way to pick up this thing from Nate, an adapter, so I could like record things properly on my phone because the computer wasn't working. And now we're not even using that, and I had to buy new tires.
Swindled into four new tires from one flat. I don't know how that happened.
Hey, I got three. They were really bad. They didn't even ask if I wanted. I just said I need new tires. It was bad.
They were just like, "No, we legally can't let you leave here with those tires."
They like, as you're driving out, what they do is they shoot out people's tires as they're leaving, so they have to come back and just get more.
Man.
It's like a sniper on the top audience. It's a sniper on top of the roof with a silencer. Mm-hmm. That way they don't, you know, you can't really tell when you're in your car and there's all the noise happening from the mechanic.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't question it. All four of my tires that I just kept putting on my car instantly blew out. I'm just like, ah, man, bad luck.
I mean, you guys cover these, right? You just put these on. No, you got to buy all new ones.
Wouldn't it be smarter just to like lay out a bunch of nails or screws like right in front of where you have to drive?
That's apparently what happened to mine, because apparently my other tire, when I got a flat back in December, had like five nails in it, dude.
Yep.
Like I just rode over like an entire, I guess I just went through a nail factory, just straight through.
It still wasn't even that bad. Like your other, whatever you ran over for this most recent flat was bad, because that thing was completely gone.
No, I told you the tire wore out, but it wore out on the inside.
Anyway, okay. So
nobody
just
cares
actually
about this. Tore up.
Yeah. Okay.
We got to get into the topic here. We can't mess around. There's not a I mean, there is some movie news, but movie's delayed. There's your movie news.
Yep. None are being made. So, there's going to be a huge, big old gap like 6-9 months from now.
I had some movie news for last week, but I'm scrapping all of it so we can talk Tiger King because we don't want to keep you guys waiting. We have a very exciting we got a very exciting interview coming up with some people that actually worked with Joe Exotic at the GW Exotic Animal Zoo. And I'm so excited.
It's nuts.
To talk
honestly
to these
nuts.
People. Because like I just heard about this show and I was like, just kept hearing about how crazy it was and that I had to watch it. So I was like, Nate, we got to watch this because we got to talk about it. It's the number one thing on Netflix, but really like number one thing in the world. Like it's all over social media.
Yeah, I usually hate this kind of thing, but man, I was loving every second of this.
And somehow we were able to get a hold of 7 people that worked for Joe Exotic, and we're going to talk to them soon. So we don't want to keep you guys waiting. I do want to go over this show a little bit very quickly without, you know, knowing anything else besides just this show. Yep. So Nate, go for it. What'd you think?
Tiger King. Well, let's just break it down because there might be, you know, 3 people out there who still have yet to know what this is. It's a documentary series on Netflix. They do a lot of those kind of things. And basically it is about a real guy, whole real story. This guy named Joe Exotic. He is insane. And he for like 20 years ran this private zoo and was like breeding tigers. He had like hundreds of tigers and was breeding them and kind of selling them, dabbling in a little bit of illegal activity. And the main focus of the show is that he apparently allegedly he's been convicted of it now, but allegedly hired someone to kill Carol Baskin, she's basically also another zoo owner. I don't want to give her, I mean, she'll call herself a conservationist, but fuck that. Honestly, she's making money just like the rest of them. I don't buy that for a second.
Yo, my jaw, like I said, when we were watching the show and she's like getting on them, how they have like a have a zoo and are profiting off these animals. And then it went to show how she was also profiting off animals through her place.
Yep. And boy, they were also in cages, right. And they were also like, it's just
to be fair, maybe they didn't ever say that she actually breeded the tigers. So she's maybe trying to take them from what I do understand is that there are people that see a baby tiger, they get the tiger, and then they're like, oh, this is cute. And then in a 2 weeks, it's big enough to like, you know, tear their face off. And like, we don't want to, and they don't know how to take care of it. So then you have people that do know how to take care of them, take them over. And I think that's where I think she validates herself. Cause she's like, oh, I know how to take care of a tiger. So I'm going to take them. And but that's it. Like, besides that, she's still making money off of them. She's still like, she's also crazy in her own way.
Like, she's also, she had an army of workers who were all like volunteers that never, she didn't have to pay anybody to do all this kind of stuff. At least, I mean, all these other guys that they talk about, cause they talk to a lot of zoo owners, Joe Exotic being the main guy, but also this guy named Doc Antle. And then there was another guy that they went in business with later in the show. They all paid crap, but at least they paid, you know. Carol is just like volunteer.
Yeah.
So nice. Oh, she's a millionaire. She's the richest out of all of them.
She talks about herself like she's just this like great, like the way she talks bothers me, man.
Yeah.
But anyways, I know you kind of tried to recap the show and I kind of went a little more in detail because I was saying how I felt when like she, but that's the show. That's really it. And basically at the end, it kind of goes through the story of the rivalry between, I mean, these two and then some other exotic animal owners.
Yeah.
And how he ends up in jail for allegedly
murder for hire.
Hiring someone to murder Carol Baskin. And that's
just
go
watch it. It's nuts. If you're one of the people who owns tigers, you have to be a crazy person. I mean, Joe married two men at the same time. Doc has a harem of women at his disposal and rides elephants around in public. Carol killed her husband. Everyone's nuts.
We didn't talk about that yet. Apparently, Carol, there is a suspicion that Carol killed her husband. And I'm just saying, the way she talks about it, it's one of those like body language kind of thing.
There's no way I could have killed my husband and fed him to tigers. I mean, if you want tigers to eat something, you got to rub it in sardine oil. Then they'll love it.
That's the thing is, she said that in a different episode.
I know, so different part.
It sounds like she ratted herself out because they were talking in the different episode about how Joe thought somebody put something on his shoes so the tigers would attack him. And he's like, they put perfume on my shoes because they love perfume. It's a completely separate episode when they were talking mainly about her killing her husband. And then it cuts to her. She's like, yeah, it probably wasn't perfume. I mean, maybe it was perfume. They just wanted drool all over it. If they actually wanted to kill him, they would have put sardine oil on him. They would have eaten him or something like that. It's like, what are you doing? But anyways, it was a very... I like the show as far as... I don't watch a lot of documentaries. I don't know if I've watched any like Netflix documentaries. So it's very... it's not something that I like or that I watch. So it's very different. But Short was entertaining, but not in an entertaining way of like, oh, we're just using these animals for entertainment. It's entertaining because the people are psychos.
Yeah, they're insane.
Everyone out there
I mean,
is crazy.
A lot of the stuff that happens is I guess, a little sad. I mean, especially there is animal abuse and stuff like that in it. So, I mean, you know, I guess trigger warning if that gets it's not shown openly really all that often. I don't remember any real examples of it.
Well, except for when they were, like, tearing apart a whole entire cow to feed the tigers.
Oh, well, yeah, but, I mean, that's just, you know, that's like watching a nature documentary. I mean, cows were already dead anyway.
Yeah, but the second you have a human ripping them apart, I mean, it was already dead, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's probably the most gruesome part of it. But anyways, yeah, as we go over this, I am going to open up now to live on Instagram. That way, anybody that wants to jump in and like ask any questions or talk Tiger King, because it's crazy and I feel like everyone's going to have something to say about it. So but we can continue talking about it for a few minutes here before we break to the interview.
That'll be happening here in a bit.
Okay, quickly before we talk to you, I want to talk to you about the
excuse me,
much the crazy allegations during this show. Before we actually talk to these people that worked and know some of these people potentially that were in the documentary. Okay, let's start with the big one. Do you think Carol killed her husband?
I mean, okay, so the show certainly wants you to believe it. I mean, they really like this documentary is very dramatized, opposed to, and I think a lot of the Netflix documentaries or docuseries, whatever you want to call them, are set up like this, where they are trying to be entertaining more so than probably purely factual. They're taking a true story and they're making it entertaining, opposed to, you know, like a hardcore straight up, like a nature documentary, which is just, it's just trying to show you more than, you know what I mean? We're seeing the show's like twist on it. And I think they definitely want you to feel like it. But at the same time, the motive is there, man. Like, she, if anyone has benefited off of a death of a husband that they didn't really get along with too, like, she, that is the most coincidental and thing to ever happen, that, oh, we're not getting along, we'll probably get divorced, and he has all the money that he had before they're even marriage, like, all him, and then he disappears, nobody is ever found, and she becomes out with $5 million.
He filed basically for, I don't know if it was a restraining order, but he filed basically
and it was denied,
complaint, but yeah, he filed because he was afraid of his well-being, and then 2 weeks later he disappeared. So yep. Anyway, so yeah,
and when they interviewed the people close to the Howard Bass or Howard, it wasn't Baskin. That's her most recent. I'm sorry, Don Lewis. Howard Baskin is her most recent husband. All of his like people close to him and family and stuff, like they're like, Don wouldn't just run.
Right. So yeah, no, I pretty much feel the same way. Real quick, also shout out again here to my Instagram, because I have to just kind of be quiet here while you talk and they can't hear you because I have my headphones on.
All right.
Tiger King. If you guys have seen Tiger King and have any questions or anything else that you want to pitch in, or the topics you want us to address, yeah, let me know. Sadly, me and Nate are doing this from two different locations, so you're not gonna be able to hear what he has to say.
No.
Into the episode. But yeah, if you guys have any question about Tiger King, that's what we're talking. But anyways, yeah, I agree. Carol Baskin, she just seems like one of those people that, like, when she's not telling the truth, has this weird like tone of voice and the way she kind of like rolls her eyes. And again, the documentary is making her seem this way.
Yeah.
And I was actually looking at some news articles and stuff saying that she's very unhappy with the way that she was represented in the documentary.
I figured she'd have to be, right?
Like, they're doing this, you know, they have to make some money off this. It is for, you know, for entertainment purposes.
And it's for profit. It's not like a, you know, so I wonder if there will be any kind of slander or a defamation suit that she files towards them, especially since I'm seeing that the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, which is the Tampa thing, is thinking about reopening the case. Or actually, I mean, technically it is still open, but with they're taking some of the documentary Netflix stuff as and considering it new evidence. So it might be continued to be investigated.
Yeah, that's crazy. I just got a message from my sister who hopped on the live, which is actually something we just found out before we recorded this. Netflix just announced they're doing another episode. I think it's either dropping this week or next week.
Yeah. Jeff Lowe, of all people, was the leak on that. Yeah,
Jeff Lowe apparently dropped that. But okay, cool. So we covered that one. So quickly, I guess the next one. Do you really think that Joe did hire somebody to murder Carol Baskin?
You know, it's kind of a weird thing, because I could like recognize, like, when we were on the Lost episode from last week, we talked a little bit because we had just seen the first episode when we were talking about that. And you know, Joe is a like very outlandish personality, and he does some like kind of crazy stuff that seems like it's kind of indicative of like, okay, maybe this guy could murder somebody. Like, he shoots guns all the time, and he shot up a mannequin of that's supposed to represent Carol, obviously. And basically, didn't he blow it up with that powder?
What
I'm talking about? The mannequin when he shot it.
Oh yeah, an explosive.
Right. Yeah. But I kind of see that more as like a theatrics and like kind of a, you know, little man maybe wanting to look big with his gun kind of a personality trait, more than so of an actual like going out and killing people, from what I see from the things. I don't know if he really had it in him to actually go through with it. That's, I don't think it would have been sad.
Some people were saying that he wouldn't actually go through with it, but
at the same time, I'm finding out he's shot, apparently, this is, I don't have super heavy evidence for this, but I read something about it on the Wikipedia page that he that I don't remember from the documentary was that he had been killing horses that were donated to him to feed to his tigers, which is it's kind of hard to shoot a horse and kill it. Like, that's, you know what I mean?
It's not a person, but yeah.
No, it's not. But I mean, I'm saying, like, it's shooting horses is basically, to me, it's like shooting a dog. Like, you know, having a dog and then, like, just, you know, like someone donates you a golden retriever and you shoot it and feed it to your tigers. That's pretty fucked.
Like, what I will say is, I feel like if anybody was going to set him up, like, those two people, because look,
yeah, Jeff Lowe and the other guy, those guys are nuts. Yeah,
right.
I those guys think that definitely have
putting money, basically taking money from Jeff's account, putting in his name, signing his checks and all that. Because when Jeff confronted him with that, he kind of didn't, at least in the documentary, he just kind of sat there and didn't say anything and seemed guilty. And he was like, I'll move, is what he said. He's like, I'll leave. He's like, yeah, you should leave. So like, I think that maybe some of that happened. And then if Jeff gets upset enough, and then you have his friend who's, you know, also been to prison and all this stuff.
They're both convicted felons. And
So all you have to do is, if you're already talking about killing somebody just out of action, whether you would do it or not, or even hire somebody to do it or not, if you're talking about it, the second that the person you're talking to about it, if they accept money from you and they say that it's for this, it's pretty decent evidence.
Also, here's a big weird thing about this show that I still don't understand, and maybe I'm missing out on some of the legalities of it. The guy who was supposedly the guy they hired, I can't remember, he worked for Jeff, he was Jeff's guy, the guy we were just talking about that helped set him up. If they convict Joe of murder for hire, why don't they convict the guy he supposedly hired, even if he didn't do it?
Because they were under the impression that the guy, since he actually was willing to come clean, I'm in the understanding that he came clean and said, look, I was never going to do this. I said yes, so I could basically show that this was the intent and that he was trying to hire somebody to murder him. But I took the money and I ran and came to you guys with this evidence.
Right.
You have nothing to convict me with the fact that I was going to kill him. See what I'm saying?
Took the money, though.
I know. I'm not saying that it's right either. I think it's kind of messed up. My sister said he was set up. And then somebody else said they admit it.
I know. They kind of do. It's, man, I don't know. I just, it does seem, I do kind of, I'm on that side of, I mean, from the evidence shown in the show, from their perspective, it really does seem like he was set up.
I don't know if I have enough like evidence, because I can understand, because if you're crazy enough to hire somebody to do that and they have text messages from Joe to the other guy saying, oh, just shoot him in a parking lot, whatever, or shoot her in a parking lot. So if you have somebody who's crazy enough to hire, they're going to try to cover their tracks.
But it was Lowe who was figuring out like the plan.
Right.
Like, hey,
but my point is, if you
path and stuff like
right,
that.
But if you have somebody that's crazy enough to actually hire somebody to do that, they're going to try to cover themselves as best as possible and same the other way around.
Yeah.
So I don't know. My point is, they're all crazy. Maybe we'll get a more definite answer after we talk to these people. Do you have any other main things that you wanted to talk about, though?
Joe Exotic's music. I mean, it's pretty good, honestly.
Joe Exotic's music.
Here, kitty, kitty. Freaking banger, dude.
Who do you think of this show is the most normal out of everybody in the show?
Oh, God.
They're all crazy.
Yeah, especially the main people, like, you know, Joe, Carol, Doc. Those are all insane. Right.
You could easily say that one of the most normal people in The Tiger King was one of the people that like worked for Joe, like Kelsey, you know, who lost her arm to a tiger.
Yeah, but I mean, even she's normal. Like, she just went right back to, like, I don't understand that mentality at all.
Or even the one
and she was like, I'd take too long to get my arm back. Just take it off.
Yeah, even
like, I'd have to go through all that therapy. Nah.
So his right, Joe's right hand man, John Rinky, is that his name? Who helped manage the zoo?
Not the guy with glasses, or
not his husband? Yeah, the guy with glasses who had lost both of his legs.
Yeah,
he seemed pretty normal throughout most of it. But at the very beginning of the show, he was talking about how they both promised that they'd shoot each other and wrote their names on bullets, dude.
They did. I mean, it's one thing to make like the joke, like we're all gonna shoot each other, like if we get caught or if we get a job, whatever. But it's another thing to actually get the embroidered bullets. That's that's taking it to another level. man, yeah, it's there's no one in here. Do you want to talk a little bit about the possible like castings for a show that they're trying to do? Because for an actual like Tiger King like drama.
Yeah, apparently, well, first of all, some celebrities hit it off by saying that they wanted to play Joe Exotic in like a
Dax Shepard and Edward Norton were both interested in it. But also now it's Kate McKinnon, you know, the from SNL. She wants to play Carol, and I think it's almost like official that she's going to do it.
Really?
Yeah.
But which is they haven't even said they're necessarily making a show based on the Tiger King. Have they?
No, I think they have. Like in the last like couple days, they've established it. Like I think there's an IMDb page for it already. I thought I was almost saying Carol Baskin begs Kate McKinnon to play her, but no. Apparently, okay. So weirdly, Carol Baskin is upset about the documentary, which she does look bad in the documentary. I honestly don't blame her, even if she did do it. I mean, you still that would still upset me. But she's still okay with them making this movie with Kate McKinnon, and she only just asked that they don't use any real cats. They just use CGI cats.
Interesting.
A little interesting.
Well, okay, so we're gonna have a lot to unpack about the Tiger King in general, especially like after we talk to these people. But is there anything else that you want to say about the Tiger King, like before we do that, before we jump into the phone call? Is there anything like just even how you felt about the show?
I was gonna say, to be honest, I think the first half of it is better than the last half. Like the first three episodes are really, really good. And I mean, you're hooked in and it's not like you're gonna stop. But when you get toward the, especially I felt like the last two, it just kind of, I don't know. It didn't have the same flair for me, and it just felt like it kind of ended a little bit, you know, unceremoniously. I don't know. Did you get that vibe, or was that just me?
That it ended unceremoniously.
Yeah. Because I mean, they go through, you know, how he gets caught, or how set up, or however you want to treat it. But it just didn't have. You know, it can only get so crazy.
We knew that he was going to be in jail, that he was going to end up in jail.
Yeah.
So I guess that part wasn't really surprising.
Well, I didn't know going into it. I mean, that he was in jail, but I didn't know if he was going to get convicted or not. Because, I mean, they could just arrest you, have you in jail, you know.
Right. And then the idea was that he would be in jail, and then the end of the episode would kind of pick up where they started, where it's like he's about to have his court date, and then you kind of see what happens, what it all led up to. I guess it felt a little bit like that, but I didn't know really what else I could have done. I mean, it kept me pretty involved throughout the whole thing. The entire thing, most episodes had that like shock factor to an extent of like, I can't believe that a human is doing this.
Yeah.
Or like this part is crazy and like this person's crazy, something that you didn't know. So it did a very good job at keeping you, you know, interested in that. But yeah, as far as what actually happened with all these allegations and stuff, it's really hard to pinpoint because the show really kind of shows that everybody is kind of crazy in their own way. And at the end, they do wrap it up nicely by saying like, you know, none of the animals benefited from this. And that's what everybody started with. They wanted to benefit and help animals. And it just became a feud and it became messy. And yeah, the animals didn't benefit from this, and that we need to actually be saving like the animals. So, which is good for a, you know, show based around animals like this. I think it's good for them to add that in the end. But it really just showed that everybody was crazy. So it's hard to really tell what actually went on. This is why I'm so excited that like to talk to these people.
Right.
To give us maybe an unbiased view. I mean, biased in the way of they work there, but as far as like it's not filtered through, you know, editing and all that kind of stuff to make right. somebody look a certain way.
I mean, I could edit it just for the good. No, I was just looking at this and there's a lot of, it seems like there's a lot of stuff that maybe the show didn't bring up.
I mean, I'm sure.
Because I'm seeing on Joe Exotic's Wikipedia page, there are two other guys that he was married to or at least had extended relationships with that they never talk about. And one of them apparently went to jail for aggravated sexual assault. And that seems like a whole other can of worms.
That almost seems like a whole episode there.
Honestly, that's, yeah. Convicted pedophile. I mean, geez, what the? Who's in prison for gun murder? What? This is an insane article. From the interview, I'm most excited to see what was left out of these insane people's lives, and if it was as accurate, or if it was more, if it went into the documentary with a, kind of an opinion in mind, where they wanted to show Joe and as kind of in the right or something like right. that.
Well, there's tons about this show that I want to still unpack. Like, I almost want to go episode by episode during this podcast. Like, during this episode of the podcast, I kind of want to go just one by one and unpack every detail of the episode, which we could do, and it would fill up enough time. But I feel like I have to stop talking so we can actually get to the phone call. Because most of you guys, I feel like, are here to listen to. If you've, still made it this far and didn't just skip straight to the interview, appreciate it. But we will unpack kind of how we feel about the Tiger King after we've talked to these people and how it's changed us, and then go through the show and everything. Like, there's going to be a lot to unpack after we talk to these guys.
Right. So. Okay. So, well, do you want to go ahead and just cut her there? Call. Okay.
Let's go. All right. Cool.
I'll see you guys in a minute. Tyler, we're about to do this interview, but did you know that you can listen to The Tiger King on audiobook format on audible.com?
I feel like you're lying to me.
I am. But you could probably listen to something called The Tiger King because it's kind of generic on there. So people should go out there and use our code at audibletrial.com/thatsmoviesbrother and get a full free month of audio goodness and perfection.
Yep, this episode is sponsored by Audible, and as you guys know, I'm sure you've heard of Audible. They're the leading provider of spoken word entertainment and audiobooks, but not only books. They have tons of daily news digests, as well as different, like, workout stuff on there. Like, tons of stuff that you can listen to, and hundreds of thousands of titles. And if you really want to, you can listen to your favorite celebrity, or maybe your favorite celebrity, read your book. It's maybe celebrity probably. Reading of books. Craziness, dude. Craziness. You want to hear Donald Trump read you a book? I don't know if he's on there, but that would be interesting.
The art of the deal. Is that a good
But yeah, if you it normally costs $14.95 a month. You get a free credit to buy a book and two Audible originals a month, but with our code our link, which is, say it again, Nate.
audibletrial.com/thatsmoviesbrother, no commas, spaces, or apostrophes.
In the description, if you click on that, you get a free month trial. So go check it out. You got time while you're sitting at home, while you're relaxing, going on walks, social distancing, listen to your favorite book.
Brother. If you want us to keep exposing Carol Baskin and her murders, we need money. And to get money, we need you to do this. So...
give it a gander, and enjoy the rest of the pod.
Woo!
So we just got done talking about our first initial impressions after watching The Tiger King all the way through. Talked about everything that we could, but now we're sitting here with Tammy and Wade, who have worked for Joe and have worked at the GW Exotic Animal Zoo. And yeah, I mean, this is a pretty crazy time for you guys, I'm assuming, with all this craze about this show. I don't know if you guys ever expected anything like this to come out of it.
Yeah, really?
Never in my lifetime.
I imagine so. What did you guys do? When did you get started over there? Just kind of go for it.
Tammy, you go first if you like.
Yeah, I guess okay. The first thing is when did you start at working there?
So I started in early 2008 with a bunch of us friends together, though. Some of them started a lot early in the beginning all the way up till the end. So there's a lot of cumulative experience.
Gotcha.
How did you find this job?
Sure. So they did the traveling show, and I actually saw them in Iowa, and I just wanted to go down and see what it was about. They said you could come down there and work, and so I went down there for 3 days to check it out and decided that's what I was going to do.
So was that the, that was the animal like magic show that they were doing at the time?
Right.
I got, what was that like? I mean,
so, you know, the magic show, I actually did not ever see the whole thing. They did more like exhibits where you could, you know, pay to play with the babies.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So you got to do the tiger cub playtime type thing.
Right.
Okay. Cool, cool, cool. So, but what did you do once you got started there?
So I worked in a section called Back Small. It had the reptile house, birds, capuchin monkeys, hyenas, some big cats. I worked with hundreds of animals. I became the manager of that section. And so then, you know, it was daily chores doing your logs. You had to make sure that the cages were clean, the animals were fed and watered. There was so much, so much that we did there. I did commissary where we prepped all the all the food for the animals that didn't eat meat. We had to check all their water multiple times a day. We did enrichment for the animals. And then like major groundskeeping stuff between hauling gravel, digging ditches, fences, houses.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Okay. So you were actually doing a working with animals and stuff like that. So I'm trying to remember from 08, and then how long were you there for?
So I was there until early 2009.
Okay. Gotcha.
Well, before we go into way too many details, you know,
yep.
I want to give Wade a chance to kind of give his story when he started, get his background that way we can start with both their backgrounds. So mm-hmm. if you don't mind, Wade, when exactly did you start? You know, how did you figure out about this place? Why do you want to work there? And what were some of your duties?
It was pretty similar to the way Tammy got word of the animal park. I was living in Carbondale, Illinois at the time, and I wasn't really doing much with my life at the time. And me and my buddy, we went to the mall, and they were doing the little play cages of the baby tigers and lions, and saw a now hiring sign, and we were just like, screw it, we got nothing better to do. So we worked with them for free for 3 days, and then after that they hired us, and we hopped on a tour bus headed to Wynnewood, Oklahoma, and started there late 2007, I think.
Okay.
And what exactly were your duties? Where did you work on the zoo?
I worked in the back big cat section, and mainly duties were cleaning cages, feeding animals, sanitation, enrichment, giving the tigers and lions something to play with so they're not just in a cage by themselves doing nothing.
Right.
There'd be a lot of times where I would have to go and pick up cattle and goats to that recently died from some of the farmers and bring those for the cats and cut them up and throw them in cages.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I remember Walmart meat was a big thing that they focused on.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. That was,
were you guys eating out of the Walmart truck?
No. I mean, so usually like a normal work day is anywhere from 6 or 7 a.m. to about 5 or 6 in the afternoon. But on the days I used to have to go help pick up the donated meat from Walmart, so I would have to leave the park at 2 a.m. drive to the tippy top of Oklahoma, and then slowly work our way back down to the park, hitting every Sam's Club and Walmart, picking up big trash cans full of expired or about to expire meat.
Right.
And then I wouldn't get back until the afternoon. But once the meat got to the park, we all had to sort through it, and we had to throw away what was bad, keep what was good. We had to bag up the meat, put vitamins in it for some of the certain animals. But no, we never ate out of there. I think that's a myth. I don't know if that was ever true. But working in the meat truck, I mean, there's – stuff that happens, like you have all these meat juices and old blood splashing around. Wow. So sometimes you catch a mouthful of juice and then you'd be your stomach would be upset for about a week from that.
Yeah, they probably didn't mention that when he got hired, huh?
I don't know.
No, they did not.
it's crazy to hear that because, you know, you see that on the show and everything, but it is at least good to hear that you guys kind of went through the meat to kind of see, you know, what's good, what's bad, you know, relatively, because it almost sounded like, you know, on the show, you know, they just pick up everything and they just give it, they just let them eat, you know, sometimes.
Oh, no. We can't, because there's a lot of processed foods. We can't feed the animals, so we throw all that away.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, because, you know, while watching that show, you kind of think like, well, you know, it's meat, but at a certain point you kind of think, well, what if this is actually good for them to eat? What is actually really bad, and are they really just giving all of that? So it is good to
especially
hear.
Since the show stated a number that they were feeding those cats, you know, for $3,000 a year, which for, you know, hundreds of pounds of animal that's eating, you know, mostly meat, that seems low.
I mean, it was mostly the thanks to Walmart and their donations that helped us out. Also, Dollar General helped us out a lot, too. They would always send donations that were like dent cans of certain things, cleaning supplies, just a bunch of other random stuff.
Right.
Fancy feast.
The cats only got fed what was good for them, and it was a very terrible job to sort all that stuff and make sure that they were getting that. Yeah.
Yeah, and as I was saying, there was also a bunch of cattle farmers in that area of Oklahoma. So certain time of the year when it gets cold, you have a lot of cattle and goats dying of pneumonia or farmers having to put them down. So what we would do, we'd get a trailer with a winch on it and drive to the nearest one and pick up a few cows or goats, bring them to the park, cut them up, and distribute them between the big cats.
Now, were either of you working there when Kelsey Saffery lost her arm to a cat?
No.
Negative.
Okay, gotcha. Were any of you the kind of six of you that you're, I'm sure some of you must have been there, because from what you've said about how long you guys continually had experience there.
Yeah, I don't know who was there while there. I mean, I worked off and on from 2007 to 2010.
Okay.
So I think my first time there, I spent about a year there, and then the second time I came back, maybe 6 months, and then the last time, maybe about 3 months.
How many people were working there at one time for the park?
You could have anywhere from maybe 10 employees actually working the park to sometimes people would quit or wouldn't be able to handle the workload and quit. So sometimes it would be maybe 4 or 5 of us sometimes.
Okay, so it's a pretty tight crew as far as, like, you were working right there with Joe pretty much every day.
Well, when Joe wasn't on the, because a lot of the time he was doing his magic show or doing the tour.
Oh, when he was on a tour. That's right. Yeah.
So I'm sure, I know we're going to have more specific questions about, you know, specific people we see in the documentary and all of that. But before we branch into that, I want to ask a few more questions about actually working there. So, like, the conditions of the work environment as far as compared to what they showed on the doc, because I think that's the most interesting thing with being able to talk to you guys, is kind of compare it, because at the end of the day, they made a documentary that they put on Netflix. So stuff was edited, and it's nice to be able to get more of a, you know, raw, you know, view of kind of what happened. So as far as the cleanliness to, you know, the treatment of their workers and, you know, the pay, kind of all that, whatever you guys are willing to disclose, what were the conditions of the work environment? How was it?
Okay. Well, I will tell you that I think the work environment was good. When I was there, the animal cages were awesome. Like, they were always clean. The park was beautiful, and Joe would never stand for anything less with that.
Exactly.
I think the bunch of us, I mean, at that point, we had so much hope and enthusiasm for the park that, I mean, it's literally all we wanted to do. And we spent extra hours building things to always improve it. I will say that there were some, you know, some of us that felt bad about some of the animals in smaller cages and wanted to continually improve that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure. As far as the pay goes for the kind of workload that you guys had, if you don't mind, was it, you know, worth it? I mean, I know you guys were all passionate about what you were doing, so that definitely helps.
But I mean, they were talking about like $150 a week.
Sometimes it was less than that. I mean, it all depended on how much Joe was able to make off the magic show or the donations we got from the park from people visiting. I mean, there'd be times to where a week would go by and there was no money, so we didn't get paid. So we just, but I mean, we weren't really, at some point we went there because we needed something to do, but at one point, you know, it was about the animals, you know, so we didn't get paid one week, then, oh well, it's not like we quit, you know, we kept doing our thing and kept taking care of the animals. But then, I mean, I think I started off at maybe $100 or less than $100 a week. And then by my last year of working there, I was making up to close to $300 a week.
Hmm.
Did it seem like Joe was at least trying his best to do what he could to pay you guys based on what he got? Was it a priority for him to make sure that you guys were compensated well for that?
Well, I think the animals always came first. He made sure he took care of what needed to be done there at the park. But he always made sure, at least with me, he always made sure to pay me. And if he wasn't able to pay me at that time, he'd eventually get me back eventually.
Cool. Ooh, excuse me. So, I mean, to get kind of into a little bit of the juicy stuff, what do you guys think about Joe and of the show as a whole? I mean, do you think that the show did a good job portraying what happened or over the course of the park, or do you think there are any biases?
I think things were skewed a bit. I mean, Joe is definitely a character. He's definitely got one of those unique personalities. I mean, he was a little eccentric about a lot of things, but all in all, when I worked for him, he always treated me right. You know, I never had any issues with him. Some of the scenes you see him firing people, I was in a lot of meetings like that to where he would yell and fire people, but I was usually people who came to the park thinking like, oh, I get to play with baby tigers and not do anything, you know, and be lazy. Yeah, so he'd get rid of them quick. I mean, and then a lot of talk about all the drugs and alcohol and everything. I didn't really understand that because at least when I worked there, there was zero tolerance for any drugs or alcohol whatsoever. I mean, there'd be times that Joe would come to the trailers, see somebody drinking alcohol and fire them immediately, and they had to pack their stuff and go. So I don't understand the whole meth and all this other stuff that they talk about. But all in all, I don't know. I don't know what caused Joe to do what he did, but I think it was a lot of people putting ideas in his head and pressuring him and kind of, you know, coaxing him to do something, you know.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, but I guess that kind of branches into the further question. Do you think he really did it? You know, do you think he actually really tried to get Carol murdered?
I mean, I think it happened, but I don't just think he was just like, oh, I'm going to go do this. I think, you know, he had other people that were working with him at the time trying to get rid of him, in my opinion. And they're just like, hey, you should do this. And this is the person that'll do it for you, you know. I mean, if somebody, you know, said, hey, I'll do this for you for $3,000. I mean, like, really? Who's really going to do that for $3,000?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty low ball kind of amount of money for something like that. But what about you, Tammy? What was your first kind of impressions of Joe, and did those impressions change over time?
Sure. That's such a hard one. I will say my husband says that Joe is a one-man circus, and that's probably pretty accurate.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the right words here. I think he is a very nice person, and no, I actually don't think that he did it. I definitely think he was framed. I mean, he honestly was very transparent. He didn't put on a suit and tie and pretend to be somebody that he wasn't. I mean, he was very out there. But he always was kind to me. I mean, there was a point where, you know, he offered to raise our kid at the park and help us out and different things like that.
Wow.
So I don't think that every decision that he made was right or fair by any means.
but you don't think he would go quite that far.
Yeah.
From your perspective.
No.
And it's very interesting because I don't know if, I guess that's another question. I'm not sure if you guys were around, I think it was more recent, but with Jeff Lowe, because from how the documentary presented things, he did seem like a person who took somebody and kind of made them think that, you know, he's helping them and doing this kind of thing. And like they portrayed in the show and even said, a con man, a very, very, very good con man.
Yeah, Jeff Lowe,
no, definitely.
Traditional criminal.
So, yeah. And I don't know if you guys had any interaction with him, but if anybody was going to frame somebody, I mean, if, and again, I don't even know if this is true, but if Joe actually did take some of his money and signed his checks, whether he thought that he had the permission to do that or not, you know, that raised a lot of legal issues. And then that's a very easy thing for Jeff to be like, I want to get back at him. He seems like somebody that could do something like that with his friend who was also a convicted, you know, criminal as well. So I'm not sure if you guys have any opinions on that, or did you know Jeff Lowe in any way?
I did not know Jeff Lowe, but like I said, from the way the documentary portrayed him, he seems like a straight up, you know, con man, the way it makes him seem. I mean, I can't say anything personally because I don't know the guy.
Right.
But I mean, I think if Joe got to the point to where he finally wanted to kill Carol Baskin, he would just go do it himself. He wouldn't be like, you know, I'm gonna hire some person $3,000, and then they're gonna run to a strip club and go spend it. You know, I mean,
And the guy they hired didn't go to jail, but
yeah, exactly. See, I don't understand that. You think Jeff or Alan would have got like an accessory charge or something, you know, because I mean they have video recordings of them talking about it, and so
I was gonna say, even if he was like doing it just so he could show that, you know, he took money because Joe was willing to hire somebody and then came straight to, you know, the feds with evidence, that's not really how it happened, because they had to reach out to him and be like, tell us what you know, and had to be convinced to be like, yes, he did pay me money, but I wasn't planning on doing it. It's like, well, there's no evidence you weren't planning on doing it. You actually took the money. It just seems very gray.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Joe, one thing I know about Joe after a while, I mean, my time at the animal park, it wasn't the whole Carol Baskin situation. It was mostly PETA that was always up his ass trying to shut him down and everything. So, but
that is something I wanted to ask, because there apparently, I don't know if you can talk about this, but apparently PETA tried to infiltrate and have some of their guys hired as employees.
Yeah, that definitely happened several times.
Oh yeah.
from what I know, at least. I think actually I ended up knowing a few of the people. I don't remember their names anymore, but I remember later on after working with people, a lot of information I shared with them popped up in other sources, you know.
Right.
And there would always be video recordings of only things that employees would be able to see.
Right. So did that ever, that never really, I mean, they never got shut down because of PETA or that. They didn't really, yeah.
No, but the whole, getting back to that, like I said, that was his main enemy back then. But the whole Carol Baskin thing, I think, you know, Joe's not an idiot, you know, and plus not being an idiot with his paranoia, I would think if somebody was like, hey, let's do this murder for hire, he would be suspicious about it, you know, and kind of be wary to agree to do anything like that. Because at one point, Joe seemed like he was getting really paranoid about the things that were going on and what was going to happen to him in the park and everything. So I think he was kind of on edge watching everybody and everything that was going on to fall into that mistake.
Were either of you guys around for any of Joe Exotic's music career?
I remember him selling CDs in the gift shop, but I never saw him record anything.
If you took one of those CDs, like if you bought one while you were there, I feel like it would be worth a lot of money now.
I still think they're probably selling them now. Yeah.
Yeah, right, they still are. I don't know, with Jeff running the place now, he probably removed everything.
Yeah,
Joe. out of there. But there are a few groups on Facebook that I'm following. One of them's Free Joe Exotic, and there's a lot of previous people who have come to the park posting t-shirts that they got, or CDs or DVDs or other pictures they took while they were there. I mean, I think the first week this came out, somebody posted a meme on Facebook, and it was from Free Joe Exotic group, and I just commented, I used to work for Joe Exotic from this date to this date, and within an hour it had 1700 comments, like 2000 reacts. I woke up with 200 new friend requests. And I think the group went from like 1,000 people in a few days to 150,000 people in the group.
Jeez, yeah. Talk about that's quite different.
I would like to ask some more kind of documentary based questions, a little more specifics. We'll start with a more generic one. If you guys were around when the documentary was being filmed at all, in any aspect?
No.
I'm so sure were you guys around when, so I know Rick Kirkham, I believe was his name, was filming a reality show before the documentary, and that apparently all got burned to the ground. Were you guys around when he was filming anything?
No.
So no filming for you
guys?
Yeah,
I think that was...
No, we were GW OGs pretty much.
Yeah, I don't think they started filming until later in like 2015 or something like that. So I mean, you had said that a lot of the stuff that Joe was worried about at the time was PETA and hadn't really gotten to Carol yet.
Yes.
So you guys didn't really hear anything about Carol Baskins while you were working there at the time?
I did.
I
think Tammy did. Yeah, she stayed there longer than I did.
Right.
I mean, he wasn't like super caught up in it, but we did hear a lot about it. And I mean, I know there was one point when Joe was crying because he came off the road and didn't have enough meat to feed the tigers. And so it was a lot more like with what she was doing with the harassing and the road show, making it so that he was able to bring in less income.
Right, because that was after the lawsuit had started, so he had to start giving up and selling off things.
I don't think it was about selling off things. It was more like, you know, the emails that she would send to the malls that he was to, so that they stopped being able to go to places and bring in that revenue to help the park.
Gotcha. Because I remember at some point he had to stop doing the roadshow because he had to sell the truck and everything. Or I think he got rid of the truck before she could take it from him for the lawsuit that she won against him. But I was I was curious about that. Do you guys feel like, how do you feel about the Carol portrayal in the documentary, especially when it comes to the alleged murder of her husband or disappearance, whatever you want to call it? Do you guys know anything more about that than what they talked about? Or
I don't know anything about it, but with my opinion, I mean, who just walks away from like what, $7 million they said?
Yeah, or
what millionaire just disappears out of nowhere? I mean it seems kind of suspicious to me, you know, but yeah. I mean, I can't really say what really happened.
Tammy, did you know anything about it?
I don't know anything about it, no.
That's fine. Just wanted to wrap around the so is there anything that you felt like the documentary really left out while you guys were working there that wasn't talked about or shown?
Yeah, about how well the animals were taken care of while we were there, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the main priority of the whole place, was the livelihood of the animals. I mean, right. What do you think, Tammy?
I would agree with Wade that they definitely didn't show how great the animals were taken care of. The thing that I would say that I think that they did leave out was some of the supporting players in this were I think painted to be better than they actually were.
Interesting. Have any examples?
My example would be Rinky.
Yep.
He was the he had the no legs from and was one of the managers of
correct.
Okay, gotcha. So yeah, I do actually remember from the documentary thinking that he seemed like a generally reasonable guy, but not so much. Well, that's new. Do you have anything kind of, I mean, well, can you expand on that and talk a little bit more about it?
I'm not sure that I'm ready to do that yet.
Okay, fair enough. No worries. What's it? I'm very curious about now. The documentary talks a lot about like Doc Antle, who was just another zoo owner. Did you know anything about him, or did he have any involvement in the zoo really while you guys were working there? I wouldn't think so, but
no.
Yeah, figured not.
Can you guys still hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Tyler.
Okay, my audio thing just messed up for a second there, so I just had to.
Mine's very faint as well. I'm having trouble hearing you guys.
Oh, okay. I'll try to have a little bit better mic etiquette there. I'm curious about the Joe's husbands, John Finley and Trevor Maldonado, I think was his name. Travis. Thank you. Were they around on the park, around at all? Did you ever have any contact with them?
John Finley, yes. But Travis was after my time at the park. But pretty much all the time I was there, John Finley was there, if he wasn't on the road show with Joe. But I mean, from my memory, John was an awesome guy, you know.
Yeah.
I just hate how the documentary portrays him as some redneck meth head, you know, because I mean, no matter his appearance or anything, he was a really great guy. He loved those animals. I mean, that's all I can really say.
Yeah, thankfully I think he's getting a lot of positive attention now, because he's actually fixed his I think he has new teeth, and so now I think he's actually getting a lot of positive attention online after the show. But I think that's why a lot of people talk about like maybe like drugs and alcohol being used on the park and stuff like that, because it's pretty clear that John and Trevor Travis, I keep doing that, were kind of, because they're kind of self-admitted to be straight, but they were, seems like that might have been a part of the reason why they were there. Tyler, I don't know if you wanted to.
Yeah, sorry. I just had to fix that audio thing to make sure I could.
No, you're good. Sounds good.
Through the microphone. So there were a lot of different, there's a lot of different speculations now after the show. On some of these, the main people that they focused on. And one of them, obviously, being Joe Exotic. We were actually just reading an article, and I'm not sure if it has any sort of actual evidence beyond what it says. But we read that it said Joe Exotic would take horses that were donated to him and then shot them and then fed them to his tigers, like live horses. Did you guys have any inkling of something like that going on at the park, or any strange things like that?
No, not at all. If people donated animals, that was never the case that I ever saw. And I do think you should probably check the source of where that's coming from.
Yeah, that is pure.
The guy that said that is pretty jaded.
100%. Right. That's why I'm actually asking you guys about it, because if people just look things up, they just see, oh, here's an article that somebody just could have wrote and has, no evidence behind it. So I just didn't know if, what your viewpoint on that, if you had any sort of strange encounters with something like that, or if it seems the complete opposite is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, with something this big, there's going to be a lot of just stuff written on there. So it is nice to kind of bring them and kind of get a yes or no on them and make sure.
And also, I know at the end of the documentary, they also were saying that they found skeletons of tigers that were buried, and then people were accusing him of killing tigers after they
euthanizing sick tigers, that kind of thing.
Well, at some point he said he had to do it if their quality of life was you know, poor and they were old and they were sick. And he did say that, like, just you, like you would do it to a dog. And I kind of, you know, I understand that, but
right.
There are people accusing him that he just did it to tigers after, you know, if it was getting too crowded or they were too old to where, you know, they just weren't making him money anymore.
I'm pretty sure Doc Antle was doing that, man. He seems like the kind of guy just from the documentary that was euthanizing tigers once they hit 13 weeks old or something.
Yeah, that was really crazy to hear. I don't know anything about Doc Antle, but that's really sad.
Yeah.
So as far as what I'm hearing from you guys, your personal experiences with Joe is he seemed to treat the animals very well, and he was a pretty nice guy. And
just an overall stand-up guy?
I mean, not that, like, you did say, to be fair, there were decisions he made that you did not agree with. But as far as the animals were concerned, he did treat them pretty well.
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, sometimes I would say Joe treated animals better than us, but, I mean, that's to be expected, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they're his, and there's a lot of personal connection there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, sorry, did you guys vote for Joe in the 2016 presidential election?
No. I mean, all in all, I really thought it was a joke. I didn't. I know.
Did you hear Joe's about name. It back when it was happening? Or
I did, yeah. But
yeah.
It didn't seem like a joke. He seemed very, very.
Yeah, he was pretty into it.
He's a very ambitious person, but I mean. I didn't really think it was going to come to fruition, so I didn't really jump on the bandwagon.
Right. So you guys did say, I just want to ask one more time, you guys did say that the people like Carol Baskin, Doc Antle, and some of these other exotic animal owners that were represented in this documentary, you guys didn't have any contact with them. You guys didn't really, there was no, like, they didn't affect your life on a day-to-day basis?
Not at all.
No.
Okay. So that seems to be more of recent than since you guys were there a little before all of this, it seems.
Yes.
Right.
Most of it anyway.
All right. I'm just looking at here. I got a list of a question, seeing exactly what I want to ask next. So I have some written down. Basically, I want to know with what you guys are willing to share. I know that you guys aren't willing to share everything right now because you guys have a lot of information that you are taking and trying to put together, but if you guys have any crazy stories, like what is a crazy story or incident that you witnessed while you worked there that you might be willing to share? And if you're not willing to share anything, that is totally fine as well. But I'd love to hear a story, if you guys have any, from, you know, before all of this stuff kind of hit the fan and some of the crazy things that would happen at this place, you know, before this documentary even took place.
So I will say that my friends and I are putting together a project, so I definitely don't want to share too many stories.
Mm-hmm.
I will say there are a lot of crazy stories coming. There was a lot of drama there with the living situation and the animals. It was kind of like a reality show already.
Yeah.
More like episodes of Survivor times Rocky Horror Picture Show. I mean, I can't even tell you the craziest story right off the top of my head because there were so many.
Did you live at the zoo, like on location?
Yes.
Oh, you did? Okay, wow. Yeah.
We were neighbors.
Everybody that worked there, did they pretty much all live there?
Yeah, not all of them, but most of them.
Yeah,
have to, especially at that.
There was three trailers at the time in the parking lot of the animal park that the people who stayed at the park lived in.
And three trailers for everyone that lived there?
No, I mean,
that was for like the workers that were there full time. So like everybody had their own bedroom, and then like you shared common areas like the kitchen.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And then I think Tammy, didn't they have all the women in one trailer? Like it was you, Beth, and
yeah, my trailer was good.
Yeah.
You guys.
They didn't make the trailer glamorous on the documentary.
Well, I mean, you got to think over time. All the people. I mean,
yep.
I can't tell you the countless amount of people who were hired and quit or got fired.
And they were all living there for some short period of time.
Exactly.
Right. But, so they could be slobs and break things, and you know, it definitely, I'm sure, deteriorated.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But overall, it was probably shown to be a little bit worse than they actually were.
Yeah. Well, I mean, probably at the time, that's what they looked like. But you got to think, I mean, like I said, I started working there in 2007, and they were still decent. But you got to think of all the, let's say, 100 different people. Yeah. 100 different people lived in there maybe since then. And just over time, people just don't respect the place and just trash it and mess up the plumbing, put holes in the wall, whatever, and just, I mean, the priority isn't, you know, fixing the living quarters for the employees. I mean,
yeah, it's
the main priority is stuff for the animals. I mean that's one of the where I learned how to weld originally was at the animal park, because the main maintenance man eventually quit and Joe needed someone to help build cages. So I think he sat me in the driveway with a bunch of scrap metal, and I practiced for like hours learning how to weld. But I mean, like I said, that was the main priority. But over time, you know, I mean, any funding that came into the park was mainly for the animals. I mean, I remember sometimes they would try to get certain things fixed on the trailers. Like if the plumbing went out, they get a plumber or something, or try to teach us, one of us, how to fix it. But I mean, I don't think they really had the funding to continuously fix things that people weren't taking care of.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. And real quick, Tammy, if you want to expand a little bit, we'll talk about it again when we do wrap up, to remind people to check everything out that you guys are doing. But if you want to explain a little bit of what you guys are trying to put together, that would be great. That way we can help advertise for, you know, what you guys are trying to put together with all your information that you do have.
Sure. So there's six of us, and we have a lot of stories. What we'd like to do, we're kind of calling it like a tiger servant series, because really, you know, what we did was a lot with the animals, but it's going to be more like a video series where you can ask questions or we answer certain questions, and we'll start, you know, posting them up for people.
Cool. Okay. So you don't want to spill all the information right here, right now, and have nothing to...
Right.
That totally makes sense. And that's awesome. I'm happy that you guys are trying to do something with that, and it's super exciting. So we'll definitely, you know, keep everybody updated on how that's going as well. But if in any stories that you guys do have, if you have want to tease with a little bit something, feel free to say whatever you guys want. But yeah, save the good stuff for sure.
I don't know. Most of the things I have are pretty juicy, so I don't really elaborate on a lot of those right now.
Yes, whatever you guys are comfortable with, you know, just give people a taste. And if it's just, you know, all the questions we've asked, I'm sure that's plenty. I'm sure people are gonna come flock to this. What you guys are doing when it does get up and started, either way.
Yeah, I mean, I know some of the stories I have to share, some of them are extremely shocking and some of them are really embarrassing.
Without getting rid of the surprise or shocking factor, can you give us what a story might be about?
I don't know.
No? If not, dude, no worries. I'm not sitting here trying to brush you at all. Just trying to see, you know, what we can tease people with, but that's totally fine.
Yeah. There's nothing I can really share right now, because if I get even talking a hint, I'll probably give away everything.
No worries, man. No worries.
Well, right. Well, I think we kind of pretty much run through everything else, unless there was anything anybody wanted to talk about. But Ty, you feel good?
For the most part, the last thing that I kind of do have is the documentary. I know that you guys worked there before a lot of that was filmed, but do you think that the documentary as a whole, we kind of asked this at the beginning, but I kind of do want to wrap up with it. Do you think the documentary as a whole represented the people that you did know well, or was it more of a 50-50 split? Like, yeah, maybe about half people represented well, the other weren't, or was like not even close? Like on that scale, where would you kind of put it?
I think most of them were represented accurately, and there was, you know, a few that weren't, that more could probably come out.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know. I think with the documentary and everything, they kind of try to spice things up for drama factor, you know.
Sure.
But Yes, I would say some were and some weren't.
Cool. And then I guess the last thing is, you know, the main idea of the documentary was following this man's story to how he ended up in jail. And then if people actually think he should be, that's kind of the overarching journey you're kind of following. And from what I'm receiving from you guys, you don't think he did it. Like, what is your guys' verdict on from what you experienced and then what the documentary showed you? I know you guys weren't there in person, so it's still kind of hard to say, but.
You might have been dropped when they kind of talked a little bit about this.
Yeah, I don't think he did it.
Yeah, I mean, and I think if he did, I mean, it was he was being pushed by others, like, hey, this is the best thing to do. You know, I don't think it was his idea. You know, it wasn't his plan.
Right.
Right. Yeah, because the documentary, I mean, it really doesn't show him to be, I mean, a little bit. It tries to maybe show him, especially with like the gun use and stuff like that, try to show him as a guy who is a little bit unpredictable and crazy. I mean, was he always firing off guns at the park and stuff like that?
No, the only time we used guns at the park was, I mean, we would go out back and shoot like Coke cans, you know, or there was at one point of time he was training us to use the trank gun. So like if we had to move a tiger from one cage to the other, you know, we would have to tranquilize them, you know, to where they'd go to sleep so we can move them from one place to the other. But there was no excessive like just firing random guns or shooting animals or
I mean
but yeah, they weren't flagging around. Like we did go and shoot guns with Joe, but it wasn't like that.
I mean everything he had gun wise was for safety, because I know Oklahoma is really big on tornadoes, and one thing that Joe was always concerned about is if a tornado ever hit the park, you know, you'd have a cage down and have animals released. So he always wanted to make sure everybody was trained and knew how to use a weapon. So if an animal did get out and I mean, you can't have all these cats and other big animals running out into the public.
Right. Of course. Yeah. Gotcha. Well,
is there anything else that you guys do want to say before you go? I think that's pretty much all the questions that we have. If you guys have anything else you want to say.
I'm good, Tammy. What about you?
I think I'm good.
Cool. Well, we really, really appreciate you guys stopping by. And again, I in no way, you know, trying to like pry or anything, just trying to give everybody, you know, an idea of what is coming from you guys, because we are really excited to help support what you guys have building together. So we're going to do our best to help advertise for that, let people know, you know, where they can find it, and keep you guys in touch for sure.
Awesome. Right, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thanks, guys. Alrighty.
All right, thank you.
Bye, bro.
Yeah.
Craziness, dude.
Pretty wild inside look behind the scenes,
man. That was and you know, I wasn't trying to, you know, press them and saying anything that they didn't want to say. I was just trying to do what I could to like tease people with some interesting stuff, but you know, people are going to jump on that, and that's super cool and super exciting. I'm just glad that they were able to share, that they wanted to share anything at all. So super grateful for them coming on, and looks like they got something in the works to tell some crazy stories and answer even more questions. And yeah
it'll be fun, because I am still hungering for more.
I know
Tiger King content. So anything and everything
I mentioned to them, which I was gonna say, do you guys know there's a new episode coming out?
Oh yes,
I was gonna mention that, but there is a new episode that's gonna be coming out.
You always forget something every time.
But dude, that's, I don't know where to start, because we got some stuff to unpack here.
Yeah.
So, okay. So these guys worked at the zoo pretty much before all this documentary stuff, but they say they have tons of juicy stories that have to do with what, I guess.
The drama and of the, you know, working at the park, just everything that went down. I mean, I'm interested, especially as Wade was there when a lot of the PETA stuff. I mean, PETA trying to infiltrate the zoo. That's quite.
He said he knew people,
right, who were undercover PETA operatives,
or at least that he said like he saw footage from. I don't know if he said he actually knew the specific people, but like he saw footage from PETA and such that is only footage you get from working there.
Yeah.
So that's pretty crazy. And they are in agreement that they don't think that Joe.
I don't think that Joe did it.
They thought that he was at least partially framed or fully framed. And we didn't get a really good handle on what they thought about Carol killing her husband. We didn't really
They weren't really around for a lot of that kind of stuff.
Right. So I feel like their perspective is going to be just as much as ours. And maybe they have, info. Maybe they have more info and we just, you know, that they just didn't want to share, which I mean, all power to them with all the stuff that they can do with all their information.
Yeah, it does sound like they didn't think that the documentary did a super great job of portraying the, you know, how nice the park was and how much Joe really cared for the animals and everything. They maybe thought it vilified him a little bit.
Yeah, and I think the idea of that, at least in my opinion, is they did kind of want to make everybody look a little crazy. Sure. Regardless, Joe, like they were even saying, he is a character. He might be a nice dude, but he, you know, he's a character.
Yeah.
So everybody's got a little bit of quirkiness and craziness. But especially like you can't just, at least, you know, when you're coming up with a documentary that's for entertainment purposes, you can't just be like, oh, you know, he's in jail and he should be, or he shouldn't be. It's got to be more of like this mystery and like this entertainment of like, did he do it? Did he not do it? Kind of thing. I feel like.
Right. Yeah, it's a man. It's another thing.
Yeah, so does this change your opinion at all about the show?
Well, I was already kind of on their side. I was already kind of pro Joe, anti Carol.
I was kind of mixed. This helps me. I was kind of mixed because he did kind of seem like he was a little crazy, like, and had his own kind of like, so it's like, I don't know, because I felt
crazy's
like,
different than criminal, you know?
Oh, well, I understand that, but it also like shows that, I don't know. It seemed like there was good evidence on both sides. So it was kind of a weird mix, but this leans me more to Joe's side, because, you know, we talked specifically with people that worked with him and they had personal connection with him and felt that he wouldn't do that, like, just especially just on his own, and if he were to actually just want her dead, that he would just go do it himself.
Oh yeah. And you know, Jeff Lowe and Alan,
they
whatever,
seem like sneaky boys,
shady,
man.
Shady guys.
They really do seem shady.
And the fact, it's so crazy to me that they're, you know, because we did talk a little bit about this last episode, and it's Jeff Lowe who announced it or leaked it or whatever, however you want to call it. It seems so strange that he would be so excited about this kind of stuff, considering his kind of portrayal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm a little
maybe he's like,
he's trying to leverage this into more money. Cause I mean, I think that's really, at the end of it, that's all he cares about.
More money out of it. And I think that maybe he thinks he can even clear his name even further with the new episode. Like, is the new episode going to be all about Jeff Lowe? I don't know. I know he's going to be in it, cause they were talking about that.
It's got to be something weird, because it feels like they really did wrap up things. I mean, the only thing that felt like tacked on at the end was the, Doc Antle, like, that he got raided like in 2019 or something like that. You remember what I'm talking about? At the very end, they just have like a little text that comes up.
Oh yeah. Like, it looks like they had enough evidence to at least go and investigate, as far as like, okay, we have enough evidence to have the right to come in here and look through and make sure that you're doing things properly. But if he's still operational, then I guess they didn't find enough to shut him down.
Yeah, no, as far as I know, he's not shut down by any means or done. He's still working. That raid was unsuccessful.
And it's crazy because after this aired, I feel like a lot of cases are reopening, or they were already open, but they're putting more resources into figuring out kind of what's going on now, especially with the Carol's husband case, which I was almost hoping to get a little bit of information on that, but they don't know anything about her or that situation. So that's just going to be, we're still.
That's just responsible for them not to, you know, act like they knew more than they did.
Oh no. Yeah. I definitely appreciate it, because
I mean, she did it, but you know, I mean, they can't just.
I mean, she did it, but if you're working there, you can't be like, she did it. If you don't know, she did it. You know what I mean? I definitely think she killed her husband, dude. Do you think she fed him to tigers, or do you think that she put him in the, what's it called, or both? Do you think that chewed them up, and then any bones or remains she put into the septic tank.
I think it's like a mix of like tiger and meat grinder type thing. Because, you know, they have like an on-site meat grinder.
Well, so they said that, and then apparently she vouched for herself. I was reading this article.
And that was too small.
Yeah, she was saying like it's like a hand crank, like you attach to a table a hand crank. You'd have to chop them up into like 1-inch cubes to get
them. If anybody chopped their husband up into 1-inch cubes, it would be her.
she was suspicious. But back to some of the stuff they're talking about, dude. That meat truck story.
Yeah, really. Like just like blood and guts getting in your mouth.
Oh man, it's like you'd be sick for a week.
Yeah, if not forever.
I don't know if I'd ever get in that. So do you? What I'm thinking is, so someone driving it, and then obviously more people to help load up. So they just have to like sit in the back of the meat truck with the meat sloshing.
Well, it's all, I don't. I think it's just like while they're dumping the truck into like, you know, big trash cans or whatever, and just all the sloshing around. Ugh. Yeah, I know. I'd be like, let me just cut up a live animal. I'd rather do that.
Would you though? He did both apparently though.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, not a live animal, but you know what I mean? Like recently deceased.
Yeah, but would that be worse? No, I guess it wouldn't smell as bad, right?
I feel like there'd just be less juice. I don't know why. Like when they were dragging around those carcasses to feed the tigers, it just looked less juicy than expired, not refrigerated meat.
Yeah. Bro. I'm excited to hear what else they have, what other stories that they have.
Yeah, I mean, it would definitely a mix of Survivor and what did she say?
Rocky Horror, dude.
Rocky, right? Yeah, Rocky Picture Horror, or Rocky Horror Picture Show. So if they can do something with that or get somebody behind that to
They have
help
to
make bro. That into another show.
They have to.
It'd be amazing.
If they jump on it now, like they've got to be. And I'm happy to be just a walking advertisement for them. Like, yep. I'm cool with that because like,
Netflix, get on it.
Yeah. We're going to help you guys advertise this. If anything, this is doing you guys more good than it is us.
And Netflix have us on it. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm just talking here.
Hey, maybe we can get more, let's watch more Netflix documentaries and see what else we can,
get on. Yeah.
But no, I really appreciate them coming on. I feel like most of the stuff they said was, there's not a lot to unpack as far as like, because we discussed it with them.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as just getting another look from behind the scenes and somebody's opinion like that, it just speaks for itself. I guess just to kind of wrap up, is just kind of talking about the show and like your final thoughts as far as what you really did like about the show. I guess really first of all, from a reality standpoint, but also just from, I mean, we talk about movies and TV shows and all that from a review and critical standpoint as mm-hmm. well. So I feel like we should touch on that a little bit before we wrap things up.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to talk about when you talk about something like this, which is like in this weird documentary kind of space. I mean, I know it's not a full documentary and it's still, you know, dramatized.
Well, it's a documentary, and I feel like every documentary is going to be dramatized to an extent because you got to get people to watch it.
Yeah, but I feel like this is probably a little bit more like, you know, there are definitely much more traditional boring documentaries that's
a boring voice speaking sure. over speaking over some footage about
that's facts. One way to put it, but yeah, sure.
But that's the complete opposite end, so I do feel like what you're saying, because
yeah,
even they said they dramatized it a bit,
right? So it's but it's very obviously different to kind of like analyze than a straight up film or just a drama TV show. But I mean, overall, I mean, like I said, I found it very interesting, and that pretty much like everybody else. If anything, I just felt a little underwhelmed by the ending. It just kind of felt like it wrapped up all of a sudden, and then, you know, it wasn't the actual, like, him being charged the murder for hire wasn't nearly as interesting to me as just him being who he was. You know what I mean?
I agree. Do you think they could have done it, like, if that was the story they wanted to tell, could they have edited it differently to make it better at the end, even if they had to wrap up with the same sort of storyline?
I think so, because they
just didn't like mention that he was in jail from the beginning, and then it's more of a surprise at the end. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's an interesting story there. I just think it might have just struggled in its execution, just because, I mean, you know, there was all the stuff with that James Garrison guy, you know, like the strip club business owner guy type guy who was involved and like was working with, you know, the authorities to kind of help try to get him incriminated and stuff like that. And it, there's a lot going on there that could have been interesting, but it just wasn't, I just didn't feel it the same way as, and maybe it's just less powerful than, you know, this Joe Exotic character running around owning tigers and being ridiculous.
And to be fair, I feel like when you are talking about a documentary, it gets kind of, as far as us talking about it from a technical standpoint and a review standpoint, you have to, from my perspective, it's more, I think it's better to be more accurate than just worry about being entertaining.
Right.
Because I think that when you do a documentary based on, well, I mean, all documentaries based on, you know, real events, real people, for the most part, you know, it could potentially affect people's lives, especially with a documentary like this, where all these people are still living and they're going to be portrayed in a certain way. Right. So I think that I'm not going to come in and be like, well, it wasn't entertaining enough. You know, and look at it just from that kind of standpoint, because at the end of the day, I think it's more important to be accurate in a documentary, and I have to judge it from a different standpoint than I would like a movie, because it's completely different, you know?
Right.
And I think that when you have people that are affected and that you're portraying somebody in a certain way, if you make somebody being, or if you portray somebody in a bad light for it to be more entertaining, shame on you. Because you could really negatively affect a person's life. So. Yeah. That's why I enjoyed talking to somebody. If anything, that having these people come in and talk, it helps us on our review, because we can kind of see, was it, you know, portrayed? Not only is it interesting for us to find out as people, and for people listening to find out how it actually was portrayed compared to what it's really like, you know, from their perspective, you know, where this was a different time. It was before. So,
right.
I'm crazier for sure, but yeah,
it'd be interesting to talk to some people who have like worked with Carol for a long time and like get there, and maybe they love her and they think that she's nothing but great, and then it's a total travesty. You know what?
Maybe we should do our research, see what we can do. I'm down to do some
pull it up. That's interesting that the documentary didn't really have any, like, I mean, it showed a couple people who were, like, when they were talking about like working for the zoos and like their volunteers and stuff like that, but there wasn't the same cast of like, you know, loyal people who worked under Carol, like we had for Joe, you know what I mean? Right. Which I know it's not necessarily about Carol specifically, it's more about Joe, but still, it's just interesting outside of her husband that they didn't have many people to talk about.
Right. So I guess, yeah, and, you know, and talking to these people to figure out how accurate things seem to be from their point of view helps, because they said overall it seemed to represent the people pretty accurately, but there were definitely some things that were dramatized and stuff like that. So with that being said, I'd say it's the best documentary I've watched, only because I couldn't even tell you another documentary. No, that's not saying much, but it was able to keep my attention and tell things in a way that seemed somewhat accurate. Take these kind of documentaries with a grain of salt, knowing that they're made to be put on Netflix for people to watch. So I'm excited for some real stories to come out of these people if they can get this together.
Yeah, same. I think it'll be I'm definitely looking forward to it. And I haven't also seen all that many documentaries, so I can't say that I've necessarily seen a better one, especially in recent years. I didn't watch a lot of the other Netflix ones, like Making a Murderer and stuff like that. So I don't know, maybe I will now, because I mean,
yeah, I know, right?
Didn't hate this one. So,
well, anything else you want to say about the show? I can't. What am I saying?
I'm sorry. Anything else I want to say about what?
Sorry, bro. I'm losing it.
All good. No, I think we covered it pretty well.
Cool. So one more time, you know, before we go, first of all, thank you guys for listening to this all the way through. I think this is we'll do some good, but I just want to say thanks again to Tammy
and Wade.
And to Wade for coming on and talking to us and giving us some insights. And again, they are getting together them. I think they said a total of 6 of them. They're getting some information piled, making some videos, and trying to do what seems like, you know, a platform where you can reach out. They can answer questions and tell stories and stuff like that. So we will be in contact with them. That way we can keep you guys updated on how that's going. And I will link some of their social media and Instagram, whatever they provide me, so you guys can be in contact with them if you guys have any other questions, stuff like that. Follow me at Tyler C. Gillette on Instagram, because that's where I'm going to be posting their stuff, as well as on our Instagram at That Movies. That's Movies Brother. Mm-hmm. You can find on both of those. I'll advertise all this and tag them, so you guys can keep up to date. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Cool. All right. Well, that's docuseries, brother.
Yeah. Hopefully we can follow this up with something interesting next week.
Yeah, really. So, yeah. All righty.